Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom Aleichem and welcome back. Today's Daf is Ksubos Lamed Hei. We are on Lamed Dal Damed Beis, two lines from the bottom. Esve. So let's pick up where we left off yesterday. We are working with the precept that there are no double punishments, meaning if one committed an offense which entails Misa and Mamon, or Malkus and Mamon, which means he's liable to death penalty and financial repayment, or Malkus with financial repayment, we pick one, and that's what he gets. We had a discussion as to which one he'll get. We had that for the last couple of days, and yesterday we left off with an interesting chiddush, that even if in actuality this fellow will not receive Misa, will not face Malkus, he committed something which carries in it a chiyuv Misa, if done purposely, if done with advance warning, with Hasra'ah. Likewise with Malkus, he did something that can potentially lead him to Malkus, but in this case it's not going to happen. Why? It was by mistake. It was accidental. It was not bemazed. He wasn't forewarned. What happens now? This act, which typically triggers Malkus and Mamon, but he's not getting Malkus, does Mamon kick in? According to Rabbi Yochanan, the answer is yes. Because the actual Mas is not triggering Malkus. So give him the Mamon. Pay up. Rish Lakish looks at the theoretical. Theoretically, this Maisa is a Masa which relates to Malkus. It's a Masa which, for instance, identifies with Misa. So the prescribed penalty, prescribed Onish for this act is meant to be a personal Misa or Malkus. It's not meant to be diverted at the Mamon realm, so to speak. And therefore, even in this case where he won't get Misa, he won't get Malkus because it was B'shogeg, he will still be potter from Mamon. Rish Lakish looks at the theoretical, Rabbi Yochanan looks at the actual implementation. Eis ve'Rish Lakish, Rabbi Yochanan, two lines from the bottom. Now comes a kasha from Rish Lakish to Rabbi Yochanan. Pasuk says, he's having a fight with his friend, he strikes the Isha, V'lo yehe asin, and there's no tragedy involved. Anoshi, anosh, this perpetrator will have to compensate for the unborn children that were lost during that episode. My love, apparently, asin mamish. It means if she doesn't actually die, asin is a tragedy. If tragedy doesn't strike, if she does not end up dying, then the perpetrator has to pay up. Otherwise, if she does die as a result of her being struck by this man, then he's potter. And that's what it depends on, her death. If she dies, then he's potter from payment. Even if he won't actually get Misa as a result. Let's say he was not warned. It was Mamon is out of the question. Mamon is out of the picture. Why? Because even though in actuality there is no Misa being applied to this perpetrator, but the act in itself can potentially carry a chiv Misa, and therefore there's no Mamon in the picture. That's a kasha. On Rabbi Yochanan, who looks at actual, not at theoretical. Why? No, that's not what the Mishnah, the Pasuk means. Din asan. An actual din asan, meaning this fellow will get Misa as a result of this episode, then he's potter from Mamon. V'loye asan, if he will not face a tragic event, he will not face Misa, then he'll pay. So Rabbi Yochanan responds, no. It depends on the actual outcome of the event. If the perpetrator is put to death, he's potter from Mamon. If otherwise, he has to pay. Eisvei, Rabbi Yochanan Rish Lakish. Now Rabbi Yochanan turned around and asked Rish Lakish, the same kasha from the same pasuk, according to his interpretation. There's no tragedy. Meaning the perpetrator is not put to death, then he has to pay up. Because if there's no misa, then there should be mumen, right? My love din asan. Apparently it's because we'll look at the din that's applied. Right? If he remains alive, then he has to pay. But otherwise, if Bezdin puts him to death, then he's put. It's totally in the actual outcome of the event, not on the theoretical. Lo, he says, Rish Lagash, no, asan mamish. We're looking at the victim, the isha. If she remains alive, she survives the ordeal, then he'll pay. But otherwise, if she was struck to the point that she met her death, then this mass is a mass which theoretically at least can generate the death penalty upon the perpetrator, in which case there's no moment. Even though actually he won't be put to death, there was no hasra involved, there was no forewarning, it's irrelevant. By nature, this type of activity can bring about misa to the perpetrator. There's no mumen in the picture. Okay, so working with the assumption, this is Rav Dimi's presentation of the Machlekes, Rabbi Yochanan Rish Lakish, that whether it's a masa which generates chiyuv misa or masa which generates chiyuv malkus, and in this case there was no misa or malkus for whatever reason, some procedural a deficiency, there was no hasra, whatever the reason is. Misa and malkus were not applied. What happens to the chiv mamin that accompanied that masa? Is it activated or not? Rabbi Yechanan says, sure. Rish Lakish says, no. Amar Rav, how can you say that? Umi ikul mando amar chayav emisas shogigin chayavim. How could anybody suggest that chayav emisas, meaning a fellow who's guilty of misa, meaning he did something which can bring about a chiv misa upon himself, but in this case it was shogigin, it was done by accident, without forewarning. So he will not get misa, and therefore, according to Rabbi Yochanan, the accompanying monetary liability that comes along with that masa will kick in, will be activated, chayav, they have to pay, even though he was involved in something which typically brings about misa. Is there any such opinion? How can that be? Listen to this braisa taught in the Beis Medrash of Chizkiah. Pasuk says, Ma'aki Adam u'maki behem. So the pasuk reads like this: U'maki behem yishalman. If one strikes an animal, he kills an animal, he has to compensate, he has to pay. U'maki Adam yumos. If he strikes a man, he kills a person, the perpetrator is put to death. The pasuk is comparing, is sort of connecting one to the other. And we make a drasha as follows. Ma maka behima lechilak tavoy. Just like when he strikes an animal and kills it, he must repay for that animal, irrespective of the circumstance. Right? A person is always responsible for his actions, whether it was deliberate or inadvertent. Beim b'shogig, beim b'mezit, beim miskaven, whether he had a mind to kill this animal, l'sh'ein miskaven, or he had a mind to do something else to kill the other animal. In all these cases, he has to pay up. Bein derech yirida, whether he killed it in a downward motion, with his hands going downward towards the animal, l'derech aliyah, or he killed it using an upward motion. The reason why the Brisa mentions these two types of motions, Rashi says, is in the Maseches Makos we have a discussion about derech aliyah and derech yirida regarding chiyuv golos. So if a fellow strikes his friend, kills him by mistake, so he must run to the Ir Miklat. He goes into exile, right? The halacha is that it only kicks in when it was a masa derech yirida. He sort of fell down on him, or it was done with a downward swoop. But if it's an upward swoop, we learn from a pasuk, Vayapil olav, has to be derech nefila. So that's why the Gemara, it makes reference to these different types of acts, even though it doesn't really pertain to the animal. One kills an animal, he has to pay, irrelevant of whether he's going up or down. That's basically what he's saying. He's saying it doesn't matter. Shoygig mezid miskaven ein miskaven bederech yirida, whether he killed it with a downward swoop, derech aliyah upward, lepoitrei mamon. There's no exceptions here to exempt him. In all these cases, elo lechayvei mamon, it's always going to be chayiv for the animal. So when it comes to killing an animal, this fellow is chayiv, irrespective of whether it was up, down, in, out, shogeg mezid. And likewise, the pasuk compares maki adam to maki behema, af maki adam. Likewise, when one strikes a person and kills him, does he have to pay? No. He's always potter, because this act can trigger misa. If it's done b'mezid with hasra, so by its very nature, it's a masa which is mechayev misa, and therefore shuts out any chiyuv moment. Af maki adam, in similar fashion, when one strikes a man, we will not differentiate between whether it was shogeg or mezid ben meskaven, l'shein meskaven, whether he had this fellow in mind or the other fellow next door, ben derech irida, ben derech aliyah, doesn't matter which direction he did it. In all these cases, we do not make exception to obligate repayment. No. Quite the contrary. In all these cases, if there is misa as a result of his act, he is potter from mamon. Clearly, even if there was a shaygig, even if there is no actual misa applied to the perpetrator, still, since by its very nature, this masa is a masa that can entail misa, it can bring about the implementation of the death penalty to the perpetrator, he is potter from mamon. This is a brisa based on a pasuk. How can anybody suggest otherwise? Ella, rather, you're right. Ki Yosef Rabin came from Eretz Yisrael. Amma, he said, Chayav Misas Shoigigin. When it's an act which is connected to Misa, which can bring about the death penalty upon the perpetrator, even if it was Shoigigin, if the act was done by mistake, in which case it will not actually bring Misa. But since, in theory, it can bring an Einish Misa, Chayav Misas Shoigigin, Kuli Amaloi Pligi Diptur, and all agree that there will not be any chiyuv mamon. Ki pligi b'chayv malkus shogegin. The question is specific to malkus. If there was an act which can bring about a chiyuv malkus, but it was done by shogeg, so there is no malkus in actuality. But there were ach, and it came along with a chiyuv mamon. Here's the question. We know that the actual malkus, who we pointed him from mamon, once the punishment is applied to his person, Malkus, we don't double charge. Once you address the person, you don't need his money. He doesn't have to pay. It's sort of all included. But if in actuality there is no Malkus, why? Because we'll be shogeg. So in this case, when it's chayavi Malkus shogeg in v'davar achar, now we have a machlekes. Rabbi Yechon Omer Chayv, he has to pay up. No Malkus pay. Why? Chayav emisais. Yeah, chayav emisais. Lechiv misa. Iskush is connected in this pasuk that we just mentioned. We connected chayav emisais to the striking of the animal, right? And we don't differentiate. Just like when it comes to makeh behema, you're always going to pay. On the flip side, makeh adam, you'll never pay. Because these are chayav emisais, acts which typically generate a chayav misa. So chayav emisais iskush. They have this hekesh, and therefore there's no chayav moment. But chayav emalkis, an act which brings about a chayav malkis, like iskush, that hasn't been connected in this pasuk. The pasuk connects maki adam to maki behem. Maki adam is speaking about killing a person. Chayav emisais. This is an act which can generate chayav misa. It preempts any possible chiyuv mamon, but malchus, who's to say that it has the same halacha? And therefore, if there is no actual chiyuv malchus brought about on this person, then he has to pay for the damages which were incurred during that mass. Rish Lakish Amar Potter, he disagrees. Even by malchus, an act which can, even in theory, generate a chiyuv malchus, preempts any chiyuv moment. Rish Lakish Amar Potter beferush ribsa teira chayav malchus ke chayav emises. Because the Torah clearly stipulated the Chayev Malkis have the same halacha Chayev Krisus. Where? Heichan Ripsa Torah. Where did the Torah express this? Amar Abaye Asya Rosha Rosha, we learn it from Agzera Shava. By Chayev Mises, we have the word Rosha, Ashahu Rosha Lamus. By Chayev Malkus, we have the Pasuk, Vahaya Him Ben Hakko Yisa Rosha. We connect Malkus to Misa, has the same halacha. Rava Amar Asya Make Make. These words ought to be applied for the Gzera Shava. Make, which is stated by Behema, and the other Make, which is mentioned by Misa. Sorry, mentioned by Malkus. So one Make is by Malkus, one Make is by Behema. And that allows us to connect Malkus to Behemoth as well, just like we connected Misa to Behemoth. No differentiations, right, between the various variations of that type of act. So what then? Same thing with Malkus. Any type of Masa that can theoretically generate Malkus preempts any Chiv Momen. Omelet of Papa Rava, hi Make, where's the Make that you talk? Which words are you alluding to? Ilei mo Make Behemoth Shalmeno, o Make Adam Yumas, that's the pasuk we mentioned before. Make by Behemoth. And Make of Adam. Well, that's not Makis. That's the Misa, right? Haibik Talaksiv. That's a reference to a fellow killing. In which case he gets Misa. That's not what you're looking for. You're looking to compare Malkus to Behema. Elahai Make. Oh, let's find the other Make, which is Make Nefesh Behema Yishalmena. Nefesh Tachas Nefesh. The pasuk says if one strikes an animal, he has to repay life for a life. V'samachle. After which it says, the pasuk v'ish ki yitein mum ba'amitoi, kasher asa ken yasa loy. Right? Now Rashi explains that this last pasuk is a reference to Malkus. If Reuven strikes Shimon, v'ish ki yitein mum ba'amitoi, he makes a blemish, he strikes Shimon, kasher asa ken yasa loy, we apply to him just as he did to the other fellow. Rashi says it means Malkus. So we have two psukim in close proximity, smichas, right, nearby, which allows us to connect the two things. Malkus is comparable to Maki Nefesh Behema, just like by the killing of an animal. One is responsible to compensate, irrespective of the circumstance. Shoigig, Mezid, Meskaven, Ein Meskaven, etc. You always have to pay, because a person is responsible for his actions. The Gemara Bava Kama says, even b'shoigig, you have to pay up. So Maki Behema is an absolute chiv, and a chiv Malkus, which is joined by a chiv Mamon, is also absolute to the extent that he's always potter from payment. Even if practically there is no Malkus, let's say it was b'shoigig. V'hai lav Makahi, but you were looking for the word Maki. And we don't really have Make in the last pasuk. It says, "V'ish ki ite mum ba'mitay kashu asa ken yasalei." There's no mentioning of Make. If I love Make, he anan ha'koha akoha kamrinon. We don't need the actual word Make. The idea, the concept. It says, "Ki ite mum ba'mitay." How do you get to a mum? Through ha'koha. So even without the actual word Make, it is sufficient for this drasha. We connect striking a person and striking the animal. And just like by striking the animal, it's always chayv to pay, striking a person is always pata to pay because of the malchus, which is involved. One second. We're speaking about striking a person. That's chayvel. We all know that chayvel b'chaveroi never gets malchus, or at least typically doesn't get malchus. You pay up. Right? We had the whole sugya. Chayvah b'chaveiro, the Torah clearly tells us that it's something which is mechayiv mamay, not malchus. V'akiksiv, well, this most recent pasuk of ish ki yitin mumamitay, what's it discussing? V'chayvah b'chaveiro d'chsiv, a fellow applying bodily damage to his friend, and that generates tashlumin, not malchus. You're looking for a pasuk which is discussing malchus, not here. One inflicts bodily damage on his friend, about a tashluminu, he has to pay up. There's no malchus. Answer is, imeina inyan lahakor, sheyesh bo shava pruta. Because if this pasuk is not really needed for a case when he inflicted bodily damage which resulted in a lessening of his value, a significant lessening of his value, a damage which brought about a chiyuv mamon, a damage which involved a pruta, right, the nezek, the tsar, all the different various payments, total at least a pruta. It's not needed for that. We have other psukim for that. We have the pasuk that we had naflamet beis ki ken yinasim boy, right, that you have to pay for any damage which you inflicted upon your friend's guf. So this pasuk is not really needed for that. It's an extra pasuk. Therefore, tneu inya, let's apply it to a case of lahaka she'ein bo shaver pruta. He struck him in a manner where there is no pruta of damages, in which case there is no payment. Right? Less than a pruta is not significant enough to require a payment, and therefore, what happens to him? What happens to him? He gets malchus. Because remember, every time a person is chayil b'chaveri, he committed two wrongs. He was over on the pasuk bal toisif, pen yosef, right? Don't add, this is actually a hasra to bezin, don't add to the 39 malchus, but we apply it to every person who strikes his friend. But typically there is damage involved, and therefore you pay and you don't get malchus. But if there's no significant damage, but no official damage, less than a shava pruta, of course he's left with malchus. Oh, so this pasuk, which is referring to a mum inflicted, a mum which is less than a shava pruta, it generates malchus. And now this pasuk is situated right near the other pasuk of Makir Nefesh Behemi Shalmana, which allows us to make that connection. And again, what is the connection? We don't differentiate. No exceptions. It's absolute. Just like by Makir Nefesh Behemi, by striking an animal, one has to repay for that dead animal, irrespective of the circumstance, on purpose, by mistake, etc. You always pay. On the flip side, by Yadam, you never pay. Because it's a masa which generates malchus. And even if in this case it didn't actually bring about malchus, because it was done b'shoygig, without asra, still, Reish Lakish will maintain, if this act, by its very definition, relates and identifies with malchus, there is no mummy. Ask Sigurd, one second. So if save labra tashlumin hu. He told me he was speaking about a case where he struck him in a manner where there's no resulting damage of a shavar pruta, correct? Then there's no payment at all. So the whole limud was just usurped, because we were looking for a case where it was a masa which entails two aspects: malchus upon the person, and it brings along also an accompanying chiv moment. And the pasuk is telling you, no, there's no chiyuv mamon since it's a masa which relates to malchus. But here, if it's less than a shavar pruta, there is no chiyuv mamon at all. Save la bar tashlumin hu. So basically, we're going back and forth. We're looking for a combined malchus and mamon. Kashi there was, well, chayil b'chaveri, there's only mamon. Answer is, it's less than a shavar pruta. So there's malchus. Oh, but if there's malchus, then there's no mamon, because less than shavar pruta. So we're coming up short, one way or the other. We need to find a case where he was chayv b'chaveri, right? And it can have with it malchus and mamon. Litzricha, apparently, was speaking that b'hadi d'machye, while he struck him, kara shiroin delay. He went straight through his cloak, his beged, his material. So he tore his beged as he was hitting him. So now, this fellow was victimized on two accounts. He was a nechbal, he was physically assaulted, and he incurred financial damage as well. So now this perpetrator really faces a double Einish. He should get Malkus because of the Chavala, because of striking his friend. Remember, that actual Chavala was not Shava Pruta. He didn't inflict personal damage, which amounted to a Pruta. So on account of that aspect of what he did, he only gets Malkus. But then let's not forget what he did on the way. He tore through his begadim. He damaged his baggage. For that aspect of the Masa, he should get Mamet. Okay, so it works out. So now he has two Einshim facing him. Malkus for the Chavola, and Mamin because of the Shirayin that he tore. And the Pasuk tells us that this type of case is comparable to Maki Nefesh Behema, in which case we don't make any exceptions. Just like by the animal you always pay, by the other you never pay. Okay, this is Rish Lakish's Raya, that any Masa which identifies with Malkus, that preempts any moment. What was the Bryce that we learned before? We were looking for the Makar, that Chayave Misais, meaning a Masa which can theoretically bring about a Chiv Misa upon the perpetrator, and that Misa happened to come along with a Chiv Mamin, the Misa overshadows the Mamin. And it doesn't matter whether he's actually going to get the Misa or not going to get the Misa. And it was based on the comparison between Maki Behema and Maki Adam, right? Just like my Maki Behema, he's chayiv under all circumstances. Likewise, by Maki Adam, he's potter from payment in all circumstances. Maki Adam, Maki Behema. We compare one to the other. You're working with the assumption that the term Maki Behema is a reference to Chiv, absolute Chiv. He killed the animal during the weekdays. There was no malacha, no misa involved. And therefore, irrespective of the circumstance, whether it was Shogig, Mezid, he's always going to pay. How do you know that the Pasuk is referring to a regular Tuesday? Well, like Leofluge, and therefore there's no difference between this or that. He's always going to pay. Dilma b'Shabbos, maybe, perhaps. Maki Behema is speaking that he did it on Shabbos. Well, he did a malacha by killing this animal. Which malacha? Maybe Netilas Neshama, maybe Tzeveya, color the skin. Machlekes Rishayim and Gemara Shabbos. In any case, it's a malacha. Killing an animal is a malacha. So maybe this occurred on Shabbos. Behema Gufa Ikele Fluke, in which case, in order for him to be Chayiv, for striking the animal, the only way that would work is if it was b'shoigig, right? Because if he did it purposely with hasra, he gets misa for the malacha that he did, he'll be potter to pay for the animal. So behema gufa ikel flugi, the animal aspect of this pasuk is dependent upon the situation as well. We could be mechalik. We can differentiate between cases. Maki behema yishalmena. You know when he pays? When it was done b'shoigig, but not b'mezid. So that sort of undoes the whole formula, which was based on absoluteness. Just like maki behema, it's always chayiv. Maki adam is always potter. Well, not so. Not so if it's on Shabbos. Maki behema is not always chayiv. Only if it was b'shoigig. So maybe Maka Adam as well is only chayiv, only potter from payment if it was a case where it brings me, if it was b'mezid. We don't have that absoluteness any longer. Answer is, lo sakataitach. Hard to believe that the pasuk is speaking about on Shabbat. Tachsiv, u'maka behemi shalmena, u'maka Adam yumas. He kills the animal, he pays. Kills a person, he's put to death. Hey chidami, what's the case? Idilei asrubei, if he wasn't warned in advance of his actions, then there is no punishing. Maki Adam Amayumas. So even if he struck a man and killed him, why does he get Misa? He wasn't warned. Elop Shita da Ashrabay. Oh, he was warned ahead of time. So by the animal, he was warned, don't do the malacha, don't kill an animal on Shabbos. By a fellow who struck the person, he was warned against killing. Now, Viva Shabbos, if we'll follow your line of thought, that this occurred on Shabbos, and remember, he was warned beforehand, and Maka Behema Yishalmena, How could the pasuk obligate payment upon striking the animal? He was warned. He proceeded. He did a malacha, which triggers a chiv misa upon himself. All agree that if he's being put to death, he's not going to pay. Apparently, we're not speaking about a Shabbos. Allah b'chol, we're speaking about a regular weekday. Oh, so that solidifies our formula. That confirms our drasha, which is that the fact that the pasuk is comparing Maki Behema to Maki Adam, that allows us to make that hekesh. And just like by Maki Behema, when he kills an animal during your ordinary Tuesday, he must repay for the animal, he must repay for that damage, irrespective of circumstance, whether it was done on purpose or by mistake. There's always Chiyuv Mamon. Likewise by Adam. On the flip side, there's never Chiyuv Mamon. Why? Because killing a person, by definition, is a ma'aseh which can entail mises bezdin upon the perpetrator, and therefore it preempts any possibility of mumming. Okay, stop for a second. Let's just summarize. So we have Rav Dimi and we have Ravin. So Rav Dimi we had yesterday. He was the one who told us that according to that there was a machlekes between Rav Yechon and Rish Lakish. In a case of shogeg, whether it was a chayave misa shogegin or chayave malchus shogegin, when there's no actual misa or malchus applied to this person, and that masa brought about a chiyuv mamon as well, does he have to pay or not? Rabbi Yechon looks at actual. In this case, he's not actually getting malchus or misa; he pays. Rish Lakish says pater because we look at the theoretical aspect of his masa. It's a masa that can generate misa, can generate malchus, and therefore preempts any financial obligations. Ravin disagreed. Ravin says, when it comes to chayav misa, it's all agree that there is no chiv mamin, irrespective of circumstance. It's learned from the pasuk, tanit vechizkiyah, etc. What about malchus? That's the machlikus. Rabbi Yechana says, malchus is not treated like misa. There's no actual malchus being applied, let him pay. Rish Lakish says, malchus has the same halacha, and if it's a masa which relates to malchus, it cannot relate to mamon. Continues the Gemara. Omelet ha-papel ha-bay. Here comes an interesting discussion. It's almost like we have many puzzle pieces within the last few days, and we're sort of now putting it all together. Okay, let's hold on tight. Omelet papel abai. L'ramba de omar chidishu shechitra toyer beknas. Let's remember. Shitas Rab, back on the Flamma Dalet, right, yesterday. Who was mechadish to us, introduced to us a new concept, that when it comes to knas payments, the Torah was mechadish, chidishu shechitra toyer beknas. A penalty, a fine. That's something of an anomaly. That's an ordinary type of payment. That's not basic obligation. That's something beyond basic. That's a knas. It's almost like a punishment. Similar to like misa, to malchus, right? So when it comes to knas, chidush shechidush teir beknas, the Torah is mechadish to us. The Torah is specially stipulated that what? Va'af agav de miktil mishalim. That even if a fellow faces misa, it does not absolve him of any knas payments that would come along with that chiyuv misa. In contrast to ordinary chiyuv mamon, repaying, you know, an actual item, if there's misa, there's no mamon. But by knas, even when there's misa, there could be knas. That was Rabbi's chiddush. He explained the whole sugi there with the ganav, the dalad v'hei, as we learned yesterday. So our papa here is asking Abaye a question. Let's refer back to Rabbah. That's the starting point. If indeed that is correct. According to Rabbah, that Misa is compatible with Knas. Mas Nisan Kiman Mukim Lavakash. How is he going to learn our Mishnah? In the beginning of our Perek, Nachav Tesa Medalev. A fellow got involved with a Mamzeres. Right? An Oines with a Mamzeres. He pays Knas. Even though there's a lot there, right? Next. Mishnah says he got involved with an erva, a sister, which generates kares. He has to pay up. The next Mishnah, further on, the Perek says he got involved with his daughter, which creates Mises Bezdin. Then he's Potter. Okay, so we're going to work with those three elements. Sort of three categories. A forceful interaction with him, Amzeres, which is a Chayav Elavin. He's penalized 50 shkolim, he has to pay. Similar interaction with a sister, which triggers a Chayav Karis, is Chayav Knas. Similar interaction with his own daughter, which generates Chayav Mrs. Bezdin, is Potter from Knas. So our starting point is Rabbi who says that Chiv Misa can be compatible with Chiv Knas. So Masnisa Kaman Mukimla, who is he going to interpret our Mishnayos? Like, meaning how is he going to learn our Mishnayos? Ikar Rav Meir, if we're following Shitas Rav Meir, Rav Meir was the one who told us, that was a chiddush of Rav Meir, that you can get Malkus and Mamon. A lot of different aspects coming together here. We have to just keep track. So Rameir was the one who told us that this is back on the Aflamid Beis, Amid Beis, that you can get Malkus and Mamon together. Different aspects of punishment, different reason, different pursuit. You can do it. So according to Rameir, we can very well understand the first two aspects, Knas by Imam Zeres, even though there is Malkus. Malkus and payment work together very well. There's Knas by Achoisoi. Because even if there's a Malkus by Achoisoi, in the case where, let's say, he was warned, don't do it and you'll get Malkus, he'll get Malkus, he can still pay. But there's one Kasha, Kasha Bitoi. What about the Mishnah which says interaction with daughter is Potter from Knas? Why is he Potter? Now, although even Rameir agrees that Misa and Mammon are not compatible, but remember, we're going with Rabba's approach, which is that Misa and Mammon aren't compatible, but Misa and Knas are compatible. So why can't we apply Yechiv Knas for Bitoy as well? That's a kash. That doesn't work. Ikar Rabbi Nechuni ben Akan. Oh, next option. Maybe we'll follow Rabbi Nechuni ben Akan's approach to things. He was the one who told us this is back on Lamed Aleph. He said that if one faces a Chiyuv Karis, then he's potter from any sort of monetary obligations. Right? Just like Mrs. Bezdin has that aspect, Karis as well. But it's clear from his words that Malkus and Mammon are fully compatible. Because remember, in every curse is this potential, there's a lot. The fact that Nechunya has to tell us, well, since this curse that preempts any payment, obviously the law itself would not have preempted any payment. So that aspect he's following, like, it's like almost like Rameir's Shita, that a person can experience Malkus and Mammon. Right? But only Malkus and Mammon. But not Karis and Mammon. Any sort of Misa, whether it's Bidei Adam or Bidei Shemaim, preempts any Mammon. That was Rav Nechuni ben Akana's Chiddush. So if we're following his approach, we have another Kasha. Kasha Achoisei. Why does the first Mishnah of Chavtes say interaction with daughter brings about a Chiyuv Knas? What do you mean? It's Karis. If there's Kares, then he shouldn't be paying. So that doesn't work. Ikra Rabbi Yitzchak, Kashim Amzeres. Who's Rabbi Yitzchak? Rashi brings this as a Shita Maseches Makis. Rabbi Yitzchak holds that an Avera which carries a Chiyuv Kares cannot trigger Malkus. You see, throughout the whole sugya, we were working with the assumption that even an Avera which carries a potential Karis, but it can actually generate Malkus as well. Let's say the Edom warned him, don't do this, you're going to get Malkus. We give him Malkus. Even though really it should carry a Karis penalty, but it can be diverted, so to speak, to Malkus. Rabbi Yitzchak disagrees. He says any sort of Kares generating offense cannot be diverted to Makas. So the question is, according to him, when the Mishnah speaks about a fellow interacting with Achoyse, resulting in a Knas payment, that works very well, because there is no Malkus here, right? Because, as we explained, an offense which generates kares, such as involving with himself with achoisei, cannot generate malchus. That's Rabbi Yitzchak Shita. And since there is no malchus, then he should pay. And the fact that he's getting kares, that's not a reason to be poited from payment. Rabbi Yitzchak does not follow, you know, that approach of Nechuni ben Akana that kares exempts from payment. So we understand why the Mishnah requires payment by a choisei, because again, there's no malchus in this case, according to Rabbi Yitzchak, because it's a curse carrying offense. We also understand why the next mission says involving with bitoy, which generates mises bezn, exempts from knas, because mises bezn does override knas. Kimle b'de rabbi mina, you apply the more severe punishment, so he gets misa, not knas. Those two aspects we fully understand. Again, why Achoisei gets knas? That's because there's no malchus in this type of case. And the fact that it's kares, that's bidei shemayim, that doesn't affect our approach to things. That doesn't interfere with Bezin's applying a knas penalty. Why does the next mission say a forceful involvement with bitoy does not generate knas? That's partially because there's a mises bezin. Mises bezin overrides any other penalty. But one thing will still remain akasha, kashi mamzeres. Mishnah says, a forceful involvement with a mamzeres is a chayavi lavin, results in a chayiv knas. Why? If he's getting malchus, he should not get knas. He should not get chayiv moment. Ha nicha isaval k'Rabbi Yochanan. Now, if Rabbi will follow Rabbi Yochanan's approach to the whole sugya, here comes another piece to the puzzle. You may recall we had a stira, we had a kasha. Here in Ksubas, in the Mishnah of Elonaris, we learn knas is applied, monetary payment. The Mishnah in Maseches Makis speaks about these types of cases in the context of a malchus that is applied to this fellow. The question was, how do we reconcile the two Mishnahs? Is it monetary obligation, or is it personal obligation? Is it mammon? Is it malchus? Rabbi Yochanan answers, you never get both together. According to Shitas Rabbanon, it's one or the other. Which one is it? It's really malchus. But the reason why by us, in the Ksubas, he pays it because, like his shul, he wasn't warned in advance of the episode. Without Hasra, you can't give him Malkus, so he pays. That was Rabbi Yechanan's approach. Rabbi Yechanan was of the opinion that even though he committed an act which can theoretically bring about Malkus, it doesn't affect his Chiyuv Mamon, as we're learning, you know, throughout this whole daf today. Rabbi Yechanan looks at the actual outcome of his event, of his act. So, if Rabbi will follow Rabbi Yochanan, that what? That when there was no Hasra, which means there's no Malkus applied, he will have to pay. Hunami mitars lak Rabbi Yochanan. So, perfect. Rabbi as well can interpret our Mishnah like Rabbi Yochanan. The reason why there is Knas applied by Yamam Zeres, what do you mean it's a lav, it's Malkus? No, there was no Hasra. There's no actual Malkus. So there is payment. Ela isavel k'Rish Lakish. But if Rabbi would follow Rish Lakish's approach to things, that what? It's all theoretical. If it's a masa which can theoretically generate malchus, there's no automatic exemption. There's no mammon applied. Then we're stuck. Heichem etarzla. How will he learn our Mishnah? Why is there a knas by mamzeres? It's something that can generate malchus. In which case, it pushes aside the chiyuv mamon. Answer is al kochach Rabbi Yechon Sfirloi. Apparently, a rabbi will follow Rabbi Yechon's approach and reconcile the mishnayos accordingly. So that seems to be the conclusion here. That, for instance, we'll go with Rabbi Yitzchak Shita. That an avera which generates curse does not generate malchus. You can't sort of divert the curse to malchus. And now we can understand everything. We're looking to interpret three aspects of our mishnayos: mamzeres knas, achosei knas, bitei no knas. Why the difference? Very simple. Let's start from bitei. Mises bezin involved. Of course, there's no knas. There's only curse involved. That's between him and Hashem. Bezin doesn't get involved with the curse, and therefore they can apply knas. What about mamzeres? Mamzeres is just a plain lav which carries malchus. Why is there a chiv knas? If there's malchus, there's no chiv mamon. Answer is there happened not to be hasra here. So malchus was never activated. And we look at the actual outcome. There's no malchus, so there is mamon. Okay, one more piece. Amalera, masna labai. Here comes another kashat abai. L'resh lakish de amar, beferish ripsa teira chayavi malchus, ke chayavi mises. Let's go back to Resh Lakish for a moment. The Torah clearly stipulated that just as chayavi mises don't get involved with monetary repayments, so an act which can theoretically generate a chiyuv misa upon the perpetrator automatically preempts any possibility of applying financial liability. Likewise, chayavi malchus are treated the same. That being the case, we have a problem on our hands. Man tano de poligale, the Rabbi Nechunya ben Akana. Let's refresh our memory. Let's go back to Daf Lamed for a second. The Gemara tells us that, you know, the Mishnah there, an Elonaris, which speaks about Knas being applied by cases of Achoisoi and all these Arayis, even though there is a Yisur Karis, because Yisur Karis does not preempt Chiyuv Mamon, right? The Mishnah is not going like Rabbi Nechunya ben Akana, who compared Yom Kippur to Shabbos, and just like by a Misas Bezn, it automatically preempts any Chiyuv Mamon. A misa bidei shamayim as well, if he's personally liable, if the person himself will suffer the consequences, he'll be facing misa bidei shamayim or karis, different forms of heavenly retribution, he will be potter from mammon as well. So our mishnah is not following that shita, because clearly our mishnah holds differently. Even though there was an erva which generates karis, he will have to pay the knas. The question is, who is this Tana who's being chaylik Arab Nechuni ben Akana? Who's the author of our Mishnah? Man Tana de Palagale to Rabbi Nechuni ben Akana. And obligates payment, even if it's an act which relates to Karis. And this question is specifically posed on Shitas Rish Lakish, who tells us that any masa which can, even a theory can, bring about malchus, it will shut out any possibility of chiyuv mamon. So if that's the case, why by achosa is there knas? If this masa with achosa can bring about malchus, so even though really it's a curse-related activity, but as we explained before, even an offense which carries with it curse can theoretically be diverted into malchus. If the Eidim warn him as such, they tell him, look, you do this, you get malchus, he'll get malchus. So even though perhaps they didn't warn him as such, and perhaps he will not get malchus, but according to Rish Lakish, that is irrelevant. We don't look at the actual outcome. If this is masa identifies with Malchus, it relates to Malchus, it can bring about Malchus, is no mamon. So why does the Mishnah say Habal Achosay gives a knas? Says Malchus, there's no mamon. Answer is, well, one of two options. Either Rav Meir, our Tana could be Rav Meir, who holds that mamon and Malchus are fully compatible. That's Shitas Rav Meir, right? As we see throughout the entire sugya, Rav Meir does not hold of this one or the other. When it comes to Malchus, Malchus and mamon can go together. Misa and mamon not. Misa is more severe. It touches, you know, the core of the person, but Malchus and mamon can go together. So that's one option. Rabbi Yitzchak. Another simple answer is that the concept of applying a chiyuv mamon, even when a person does something which generates a kares, could be following Shitas Rabbi Yitzchak, because he holds that a masa which generates kares never generates malchus. That was Rabbi Yitzchak's chiddush, right? You can't divert kares to malchus. And therefore, there's no reason to be potter from mamon. So, and Rashi points this out, it's not necessarily going to explain our Mishnah, because our Mishnah is actually speaking about a case where there was a Malchus, there was a Mamzeris involved. So Gemara just means in other places, when the Gemara says that there is a Manda Omar that's Chaylik of Rabbi Nechuni ben Akana, Rabbi Nechuni holds that doing a Malach on Yom Kippur, which generates Kares, will not generate Mamun. But there is a Manda Omar who's Chaylik on that, who holds that will generate Mamun, and that Manda Omar can be Rabbi Yitzchak. Because he'll hold that kares is not a, you know, contradiction to mamon, because kares is, you know, ben adam lamalkim, and mamon is vezin related type of a, you know, penalty. And at the same time, Ritzak holds that a mas, an aver which generates kares, does not generate malchus, because kares can't be diverted into malchus, and therefore, when there's no malchus, even in theory, there's no malchus generated by such an act, and therefore, it fully allows the chiv mamon to kick in. Okay, let's briefly recap the daf. We had an interesting machlekes, whether we look at theory or at actuality. Rabbi Eichon says, actual. Rosh Lakish says, theory. So according to one version of the Gemara, this applies to Chayavei Malchus and Chayavei Misos. So a Masa which generated a Chiv Misa, or generated a Chiv Malchus, but didn't actually generate it this time because it was B'shoigig. Does that preempt any Chiv Mamon that comes along with it? Rabbi Eichon says, pay up. Rosh Lakish says pater. According to the other approach, which was Rav Dimi, when it comes to a misa related activity, all agree there's no mammon in the picture. Question is regarding malchus. Rabbi Yechon says if there's actual malchus, no mammon, but otherwise pay up. Rosh Lakish says, based on the psukim here, that any master which can generate malchus relates to malchus and doesn't relate to mammon. And then the Gemara concluded with some calculations, how to reconcile all the different aspects of our Mishnayos. Hatzlacha Rabbah to all of you and Besuras Tevis.